Thankful that for his goodness to all of us and how he's answering our prayers, and we thank him for that. We want to talk this morning about the Lord's Prayer. We want to talk about where the disciples said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Our text this morning is going to be Luke 11, 1 through 13. And also we'll refer to the same part of the passage in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. So we want to start in 11 and 1, Luke 11 and 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. When I read this, I thought about what was happening. What did they hear that made them say to him, teach us to do it like that? In other words, teach us how to do this. They recognized that he had a connection with the Father, and that he had a connection to where he was praying, and it flowed from him. It may not have been eloquent. It may not have been beautiful poetic language. May not have been any of those things. But they recognized something when he prayed, and they said they wanted to be able to pray like he prayed. They felt something. It did something to them. We know that happens to us. We can hear somebody praying sometimes, and it can just lift us up and encourage us and help us by listening to them pray. Sometimes on prayer meeting night, I feel like that if we're not careful, we'll get lost as everyone is praying. Instead of concentrating and hearing what the disciples heard, they heard him connecting with God. And there's others right here in our assembly that are praying and they're connecting with God. And I'm afraid sometimes that we get a little lax and we don't pay very much or very good attention to them connecting with God. We don't look at it reverently. We don't look at it as something special that they are having a connection right now with God. And if we're not careful, we're kind of dozing, or our thoughts are wandering, or you know what I'm talking about. We've all been here. We've all done this. But they heard something. And then he goes on to say what about prayer. He goes on to tell them, when you pray, do it this way. But now I want to switch over to Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And this is in the kind of the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. So this is where this came from. It was in the middle of his sermon on the Mount that he said this. But there are some things that he said right before he said the one that we know so well, the one that most of us can quote. This one in Luke, you won't quote it the same way. When you read it, it won't read the same way we always quote. But in Matthew, it does. But he started out saying that he was teaching the people that, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now you know how Jesus always, when he was praying, he never did just kneel down. We never have a picture of him just kneeling down, telling all of his disciples, all right, let's get down and pray. We never have a picture of that. Where he always separated himself off. He didn't pray on the street corners. He didn't project out, because prayer is a personal thing that happens between you and the Father. It's very personal. And he says they have their reward. And we have that in the scriptures, where the Pharisee went up to the temple and the publican went up, and the Pharisee say, I have this. He's praying out loud so that everybody can hear his eloquent prayer. Everybody can hear what he says. Everybody can hear how he commends himself before God and all these things. But the publican just smote his breast and say, have mercy on me, sinner. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Oh, listen, it takes something to shut the door. I know you've all found it. So it takes something to shut the door of everything. That means shut everything else out. And it takes something. There are days that it is easier to do than others. But the truth of the matter is, we have to do it. We have to shut out what the Savior was able to do. And what they heard was the world shut out and a private conversation with God. And that's what they heard. And they heard something so special that it moved them. But it says, but he says, make sure you shut the door, pray in secret. He'll reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That was a heathen practice, to chant and to say things over and over and to do all of those kind of things. That was heathen practices. He says, don't pray like they do in their temples, in the way they carry on, because they think they're much speaking. Listen, dear ones, do you know you don't have to pray a long time to be able to get through to what God has for you? You don't need to pray a long time and say it in so many different ways and so many flowery words or anything. There's many, many times that we have a short prayer that is just as effectual as a long prayer. And we need to recognize that all prayer isn't exactly the same every time we pray. And we need to realize that. And we need not to fight in our spirit if we feel like we haven't prayed long enough, or we prayed too little, or we, you know what I'm saying? The enemy comes against us. But an effectual prayer is one that where you shut the door and you pray and you connect. And it's not about praying about everything on the list. It's not about naming every name. It is about connecting with the Lord. So it's not vain repetitions. It's not by our much speaking that we are heard. It says, but not be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. He already knows before you ask him. He knows what's on your heart already. He knows when you get down to pray, he knows the next thing you're going to ask for. He knows the next thing that you're troubled about. He knows the person that's on your mind and you're burdened for. He knows that you're going to be mentioning that person in your prayer. He knows all those things. Yeah. It is not necessary that we have to remind God and repeat every single thing to remind God of what we're praying about. He already knows. He knows what's in our hearts and what's happening. So those were some things that he laid down before he got to this. And this is what he said then. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the one we know. And that's the way we quote it. And most everybody, when somebody starts that, most all of us can join in and get and finish it up. We know how to do that. But in this one, it's worded a little different. And we want to take these scriptures apart where God taught them how to pray. They asked for something. They asked that they could have what they needed to pray like he prayed. That's what they're asking for. Teach us how to do what you just did that we witnessed and we heard, and it rose up and it did something for us on the inside. Teach us to do that. That it's not just a burden. It's not just a duty. It's not just something I have to read every morning. I have to read every night. I have to pray every morning. I have to pray every night. It's not just duties. Teach us how to do what you just did, what we heard. It was different than a duty. It was a father. It was a son coming to a father that were separated by such a distance. One that was still in the family home, full of peace and comfort and joy and love and everything that is there. And the one that was down having to fight through this evil world that he was connecting with his father. And he said unto them, verse 2, Luke 11, 1 through 13, verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, our Father. Hallowed means respect and honor and revered. And it means holiness. And it's approaching in a humble place and exalting the Lord. And that's when we come in prayer. That's where we need to be, in that humble place, exalting him, telling him, starting off our prayer with him in our prayer. It's not about us. It's about him and who he is and what he is to us and and then it becomes what he can help us with and what he can do for us. But first, we have to reverence and worship him in our prayers. And so it says, hallowed be thy name. And then it goes on from there. It says, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Oh, it means so many things. It means that thy kingdom come. It means at the very end, when the church is gathered all up and presented to the Lord and the kingdom is complete, so to speak, in heavenly places. But thy kingdom come. In other words, everything about your kingdom that is so important, let it come. Well, whatever we have to go through for your kingdom to come, help us to be willing. Right now, we are going through COVID. But there are many souls getting saved. There are many souls being awakened to life and death. There are many souls that are realizing that they have to prepare. There are many souls that are being touched and worked with and dealt with. And so we say, thy kingdom come, Lord. I don't know about you, but I have quit praying, Lord, remove this plague. And I've been praying, Lord, do everything you can for your kingdom during this plague. In other words, your plague, the plague that you allowed to spread over the whole earth at once. There's a purpose. There's a reason. Let your kingdom come. Let everything be done well here. And then it says, Thy will be done as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth. In thy will be done. Well, what is God's will? That none should perish and that all should come to the knowledge of the Lord. He wants everyone to be saved and no one be lost. That's his will. So when we pray for those around us and we pray that they will be saved, we are praying in God's will. That is his will also. Sometimes, though, we pray for things that are not God's will. Unknowing, we don't know. We don't always understand. Sometimes we say, oh, Lord, don't let them suffer this and don't let them go through that. And you see this horrible thing that could happen to them. And please don't let it happen. And what Jesus is trying to say, he's trying to say, thy will be done right down here on earth, just like it is in heaven. In other words, people there are following your will. They are full of love and all the things that are up there in heaven. Everything that is there, they are full of. They are worshiping. They are everything is going according to plan. There's nothing that is out of order, out of sync. Everything is working well there. We want that your kingdom to work like that here. We want it to work like that here. And we don't want to be in the way. Whatever you see, and this is how we have learned to pray. All of us have learned to pray like this. Whatever is your will, Lord, amen. We've learned to pray that. But we didn't always know that, did we? There were times that we prayed against things. Oh, don't let this happen, and don't let this happen to me, and don't let this happen to my loved one, and don't let this, that, or the other, and it came. And what happened? They were helped in it. They were blessed in it. We heard a testimony this morning about Sister Juanita's relative, where I'm sure her prayer was, protect them on their trip, Lord. Protect them. And that meant they wouldn't have anything go wrong, and they wouldn't have anything wrong with a tire, and they wouldn't have anything wrong with a car or anything like that. But the Lord says, I know how to perfect that prayer you prayed. I know how to perfect that. I know how to step in and cause something to happen that will cause them some grief and some pain, and they'll have to change a tire, or they'll have to do this, and it'll cost them some money, and it'll do this, and it'll do that. But what did it work in the soul, you see? And so God wants us to pray that however your kingdom is working up there in heaven, make your kingdom work right here with us. Help us to be a part of it right here so that we know how to pray in the fullness of the kingdom and not just our wants and needs and this and that. It's not about that. It's about praying that you have your will in everything, that you have your freedom in everything. I told the Lord many years ago, I learned. And I told the Lord, I said, that whatever you need to bring in my children's lives for them to be saved, you can bring it, Lord. I won't fight you. And I said, and then I'll go through it with them. In other words, no matter what it could be, I'll go through it with them. I'll be whatever I need to be in the midst of it, but I'll go through it. You know, we so much want everything to remain peaceful and calm and good and finances and this and that and all these things. We want these things, but that isn't how God works with people. And so we want it to be done down here on earth, his kingdom down here on earth, and we're part of the kingdom right down here on earth. We want this kingdom here to work just like it's working in heaven. We want everything that heaven is, and it's all about in heaven, it's all obedient. It's all full of love, and there's no divisions, and there's no strife, and there's none of those things going on there. And we want the kingdom down here to be the same. So that means we have to watch ourselves and make sure that we're part of the kingdom. What are we projecting here? What have we got? Are we really part of the kingdom down here just like it is in heaven? Are we operating just like they do in heaven with the angels and the heavenly bodies, whatever God has done or however he is working up there, whatever he has prepared up there? Are we doing the same? We're just letting him tell us what to do, how to do it, how quick to do it, turn around, go this, go here, come here, do this, do that. Are we letting him have free reign in the kingdom down here? See, Jesus is teaching them how to pray, that your kingdom will be the same here. And they're part of the kingdom, see? Your kingdom will be the same here as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, I'm part of it. I want it to be the same, Lord. I want to be able to be a being that you can move like you move your angels, and that you can tell and have them this and that and move them around and use them in ways that we don't even understand. We want to be that kind. He's telling them, this is how you pray. This is how it's going to be effectual. It says, give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Oh, it's not talking about mashed potatoes and steak. It's not talking about that.
No.
It's talking about what we need in our soul, what we need in this kingdom we're living in. To be able to perform what we need to perform and what we need to do, give us every day this food, this daily bread that will nourish us and satisfy us and fulfill us. It says, pray for that every day. Pray for it every day. That's what he's saying. Pray that I can have what I need today, whatever I need, and to let the past go and quit worrying about the future. You only have today. You only have this minute. You only have right now. When you're in prayer, you don't even know if you're going to get up from prayer. Right. You only have the prayer right there. What you're saying out of your mouth right now is all that's promised right there. And what we're asking for is what we need every day. Oh, you know what that takes? That takes us examining ourselves every day. Yeah. If we won't know what we need. We won't know even what to ask for. We won't know what to look forward to unless we're examining ourselves every day. So when I see that I have a weakness in something, you know, that's a weakness now in the kingdom. The kingdom. See, they have none of that up there. In heaven, they have none of that. There is no weak link in the kingdom. But down here, we can be a little bit of a weak link in the kingdom. So when we see we have a weakness, then we are to take it before the Lord, and we are to ask the Lord to help us with that. Give us our daily bread to help us with this thing right here that I recognize is not kingdom. It's not the kingdom. It's coming from somewhere else, a different kingdom. I need some help right here in this kingdom. And so then when we come to the Lord, so many times we realize that we have needs and we realize that we need something, and we go to the Lord and we ask him for it and we pour out our heart. Usually it's after we've come to a realization, or we've had a little failure, or we've had a message go forth that convicts us, or something has come to us and it sends us on our knees to the Lord, and we're crying out, and we're saying, Lord, help me with this, and we're crying and we're pleading and everything. But if we're not careful, we will only do that one time. We will only do it one time instead of recognizing. And I don't know if you've recognized this yet, but we don't change kind of overnight. It takes some time, and it takes some prayer, and it takes some work to be able to flush out all that is there. And we do it with the Lord's help. It's not because we do it ourselves. It's with the Lord. But what he's saying here is that these are the things you keep coming back every day, even though you may get an immediate relief. You know what you do. You get down and you pray and you weep and you cry and you this and that. You get up, you have peace.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the thing is completely corrected. It means he has heard you, accepted your plea, and he is going to work with you now. But now we need to continue to pray for it. Every day, I tell people many times, you pray every day. It's not just a one-time prayer. You keep coming back. If it's a weakness of yours, you pray for it every day. Every day, bring it back before the Lord until you know that you have the things that you need. Till you know there has been a marked improvement, that it is gone. You are functioning correctly. You are making it. That's the daily bread that you need. We're praying for what's good for us that day. What's good for you that day? We don't know what the day is going to bring, do we?
No, we don't.
And there are some days that are very peaceful, and there are some days that are very stormy. But we pray what's good for us, not what feels good, but what is good. And there's a difference. What is good is that sometimes the Lord takes us through trials, hardships, problems, because that's what's good for us. That's our daily bread. Pray for your daily bread, your daily needs, the things that you're fighting, the things that you're looking to the Lord for, the things that you see you need to change, the things that need to become a bigger part of you. And I realize I need more love. I realize I need more soul burden. I realize I need this. That's your daily bread. Yeah. You see now how you have prayed. The Lord is teaching them to pray. You see how he has told them, approach God in the right manner in worship. And then what does he say? Then he says, pray for you. Pray for you. See, sometimes we get to so fast, we start praying for everybody else. But Jesus is saying, pray for you. Pray for your needs. Pray for what you have on hand. Pray for all of these things. Then it moves on to others. In the fourth verse, it says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now in Matthew, in verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This sins here is not talking about you went out and committed sin. It's talking about wrongs and offenses and problems and divisions and all those kinds of things. Everything that we have needed help with. Oh, I'm weak in this. Do you know that it's so easy for us to recognize that we are weak in something, and very, very hard for us to have the same compassion for somebody else that is weak in another area? Yeah. And we think they just ought to know better. They just ought to do better. And yet, here we have this thing that we've been fighting for months and maybe years. It says, Lord, forgive us.
Yeah.
For that hasty word I said, oh, those thoughts that were coming to my mind all day, or all last night, the little bit of something that I have against that person, and I don't even hardly know why, I just don't like them very much. Forgive me, Lord, for those kinds of things, because we know Jesus didn't have any of those.
That's right.
And it says, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, which lets us know And this one over here is, as we forgive our debtors, then we're going to need to do some praying for that. We're going to not only pray for ourselves, for all of our little things that we need to ask forgiveness for, our little ways, our little words, our hasty words, our talking too much, not witnessing, not talking enough, not witnessing when we have the opportunity, all those things. We need to look to the Lord, help me with that. Forgive me for that. I need to be better. I need to have more. And then we need to, everything that comes to us about other people, we need to turn them loose.
That's right.
We need to let them go.
That's right.
We need to just forgive them, whether they ever say it or whether they ever ask for it or anything else. We just need to realize that they're fighting the same devil we are. And that devil is trying to ruin their life, just like he's trying to ruin ours. And it's hard to fight him in their life, just like it's hard for us to fight him in ours. We as people, we're so proud. We're so proud. You know that this comes from a place of humility to ask forgiveness for our problems and to also forgive others for their problems. Yes, they may have a real problem, but just like you ask God to forgive you for yours, you just need to forgive them for theirs, because they don't mean to be any worse than what you probably mean to be. Everybody's fighting these battles. Everybody's fighting these things. And we need to turn some of these things loose. And he lets us know that. We should be telling him every day. This is what, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us like we're forgiving others. We should be able to tell the Lord every day what our little faults are. What do I need forgiveness still for? I'm still doing this, Lord. I'm still wasting too much time. I'm still, all wrapped up in something I shouldn't be. I'm still fighting this. I'm still, you see what I'm saying? We should be coming to him. This is, the Lord is teaching them how to pray and to get results. And this is what he's saying. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Protecting us and others. You know, the devil has plans against you today.
Yeah.
He has plans against you. He has some things he'd like to work. He has some ways he wants to deal with your mind. He has some ways he wants to deal with your body. He has some ways he wants to deal with those that are close to you. Oh, he's got some plans today. He's got big plans. And when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we know that God doesn't tempt anybody. So what this is saying is help us to avoid the traps that the devil has set for us all day. Help us to avoid them. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be paying attention. You know, we fall into traps because we're not paying attention. You know, it's a sudden thing that comes upon us and we react or we do something, but it's because we're not paying attention. What does attention mean? It means keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. It means that not getting too far away from God and his principles. Oh yes, we have things we have to occupy our minds with. We have jobs, we have things we have to do on computers, we have all these things, we have teachings, and we have all manner of things that we have to do.
Yeah.
But do you know, in the midst of all of those things, you just take note of your day someday. In the midst of all those things, do you know that the devil talks to you?
Okay.
In the midst of the, you're working on the computer, this or that, and the thought will come in, blah, 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 blah. So why can't you say something to the Lord in the midst of all your typing? Why can't you say something to him? Why can't you beat the devil at his game? Why can't you be in your job and doing what you're supposed to do and say, Lord, I'm so glad you're with me here today. I need your help today.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, see, that's being watchful. To where the devil can't sneak up on you and cause something to come in and stick and everything, because I'm being watchful. I'm making sure that I'm connected to God all day long with these little prayers, these little two-word prayers, Lord help me, three-word prayers, Lord help me, bless me, encourage me. Stand by me. Those are all prayers. It's your soul reaching up. I need help, and I know I need help, and I know I need these things. And that's what it says, lead us not into temptation. In other words, help us to not just be so busy with what we're thinking and all that it just, everything gets away from us. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. This is a very big problem. He has no food to give to his friend that has come in the middle of the night. And you need to, you know, make them comfortable. And maybe they've traveled all day and maybe they haven't had any food at all. And you're trying to help them. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And it says in the 8th verse, and I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now this sounds like that by continually coming to the Lord, we can move him on his throne. It doesn't exactly mean that. The lesson here is that he doesn't give us this because he's our friend. He is our friend. We consider him our friend. The Bible says he's our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. He is our friend. But do you know he does not answer our prayers because we are his friend? He answers and he gives to us because we need it. He answers our needs. Sometimes it takes a lot of praying before you hit the need. Do you know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of praying before you hit the need. Oh, please don't let me fall into this trap again. Please don't let me fall into this trap again. Oh, Lord, I fell in again. Please help me. Please help me. And after many prayers, it finally comes to you. Wait a second. What am I doing right before I fall into that? And then the Lord opens up and expands your understanding. And you see, oh, because my mind started going down this trail. And because I didn't check it and I didn't stop it, that's why I ended up doing this. That I'm praying all the time about this thing. But continually coming, he's not going to answer that prayer and just take that away, because you need to know where it's coming from, because he can't take it away till you know where it's coming from so you can stop it. So you're continually coming to him until he can expose to you where it's coming from. And then you can pray one of those prayers and hit that, and you won't find yourself over here in this place that you've been praying for how many months now. He doesn't answer our prayers just because he's a friend, but it's because we have a real need, and he waits until he can answer the proper prayer. The right prayer, continually coming before him, puts us in a place to where we can receive the right help in the right area. We think it's over here, but it's really not. It's over here. And he knows that. And then he goes on to say, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Ask, a simple request, just ask. I remember one time when I've probably told it before, I slipped and fell in the ice when I was living in Wisconsin, and I hurt my knee. I fell on my knee really bad, and I could barely get up and hop one more step to the car and get the car unlocked and sit down in the seat there. I could not walk, and it was hurting so bad, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And at that time, we were going to church with some people in a city that was about 45 minutes from where we were and everything, and they believed in divine healing too, and all them thinking, oh, we'll be in service, and it's 2 days till service, and, you know, to be anointed and prayed for, and I'm thinking all these things. I'm going all around this whole problem. How am I going to get in the house, and how am I going to, I can't drive now to what I was going to do. Where am I going, how am I going to get in the house? Nobody's here to help me. I'm going through all these things, and the Lord just simply said in my mind, ask me. Oh, see, I was working it all out. I was figuring it all out, where my help was going to come from and how I was going to get there. And I was, you know, working all this out. So I did. I just grabbed a hold of my knee and I said, Lord, do something for this knee. I need to be able to walk. And the pain left immediately. And I, no swelling, no anything. I just walked and there was nothing. We ask, just ask. He says, just ask. I talk to so many people and I say, well, have you asked the Lord? Well, no. Why? Why? Ask. He cares about every little thing. Like all of us we're looking for keys and we're looking for papers and we're looking for this and we're looking for that and important things that we've lost and this and that and the other. We just ask. He said that we'll receive. It says, seek and you shall find. Now, seeking is something different. It can be a vision of something afar off. In other words, I see something so wonderful out there ahead of me. I see something in somebody else, and they have such power and everything in their life, and I want that. And I realize that it's out there. I'm not there yet, and it's out there. So I begin to seek it. That means I seek for a while. The wise men came seeking Jesus. They didn't get it. They didn't see Jesus right away. His star appeared, and they took off, and they didn't see him until he was like 1 or 2 years old. I don't even know what. They didn't even find him until then. So seeking something afar off will take some time, but seeking means you keep going. The wise men didn't stop. They just kept going. As long as the star was there, they kept going. As long as the need is there, you keep seeking. You keep going after it. It's something out there, a more dedicated life, a more spiritual life, a more whatever you see, seek for it. Sometimes we seek for things we don't even know what we need. We just say, Lord, I need something. I don't know what it is that I need, but I can feel it. I need something. I need something more, Lord. I don't know what to even ask for. Seek. See, just seek that. Just let him know, I don't know what it is, Lord, but you know what it is. You can fulfill it. You can give it to me. You seek. You seek. It says seek, and you're going to find. See, it comes after a while of seeking before you find something. And then it says knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You ever had somebody at your door that doesn't want to wait? And they knock at the door. And then pretty soon it's. And then it's. And they're pounding, you know what I'm saying? Knock, knock. It means that we are in a position of having to wait for someone else to open the door. It isn't in our power. We're knocking for something that we have no power over, and we have to wait. And so it says it'll be opened unto you. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. Do you know that there are many questions that people have in their minds about what they read in the Bible or what they see in the Bible or whatever? They have many questions. They say, well, I don't know if I believe it that way. I don't know. But do they knock? Do they keep knocking? Do they keep knocking until they get an answer? Do they keep knocking until it's exposed and opened unto their understanding? Do they keep knocking? No. They use their own understanding. I heard somebody that said that, well, even if they got saved, they still believe that this one thing that God doesn't really care about, and so they would probably do that, you know, even after they got saved. And I wanted to ask them, I didn't have an opportunity because I wasn't in their presence when they said it. But afterwards, I was thinking, I'd like to ask them, so how many messages have you heard about that subject? Probably zero. They're not churchgoers. So how many times have you looked it up and studied it from the Old Testament to the New Testament to see what the Lord says about that subject? Zero. So what you're telling me is that you've already formed an opinion before you even know what God said. You formed an opinion before you even know what God said. Do you know that that's what people do? That's what people do. They don't even knock. They don't even knock. They don't even want to know. They form their opinion. They'll stand by it. And then it goes on. It says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Are you always satisfied with what you ask for and what God gives you? Because sometimes they're not the same. They're not the same. Because God's going to give you what you need. So we ask for this, but that isn't exactly what we get. You know, we ask for peace, and we have turmoil that day. You know, we ask for no pain today, and we have pain today. We ask for many things. Are you always satisfied with what you receive? Because the thing is when we're asking, we need to know that God, in all of our asking, knows what is best. We ask from our perspective and the way we look at it. God answers from his perspective and what we really need. And it says, and he that seeketh findeth. It takes a while to clear up our minds. So that's why we're seeking, because our minds need to be cleared. And then we find it. If you really seek, you just keep seeking and seeking, you will find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. In other words, you stand there and patiently knock and knock again today and knock again the next day. And don't get impatient and don't feel like, why isn't God answering? And why isn't this happening? Why isn't that? We just patiently, he said, it will be opened. It's a promise. It will be opened. And it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You notice that these things are all hard and stinging. There are some times that we ask for things. We never ask for pain. We never ask for suffering. We never ask for the things in life that are hard. We never ask for those. We never do. A lot of us won't even raise our hand on that song when it says, Father, let me stay. We won't even raise our hand. We don't ask for that. And yet God sees that we need it. And it says here, and if Ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. In other words, this man, this father on earth, his son asked him for, he wouldn't give him a stone, he wouldn't give him a serpent, he wouldn't give him a scorpion. And he's saying, I won't give you that either. But there will be some things that sting. There will be some things that are hard. But it's not because that I don't know how to give good gifts to you. It just so happens that this is the good gift for you today. This is the good gift for you today. When we can get ourselves in our prayers to understand that all in all of our asking, that we are willing for God to upend our plans and upend our requests and upend everything that we have done and give us what we truly need. Then we can get through the Lord and we can really pray how Jesus was praying, because you know that's where Jesus was. You remember in the garden, he said, if it can pass from me, Father, but nevertheless. That's what we have to do. But nevertheless, Job said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Oh, most of us aren't going to have to go through what Job went through to be able to say that. Could he have said that with all that he had, sitting on top of his hill, looking at all of his things, seeing all of his children, having a wife that isn't on the wrong side? And could he have said, though he slay me, will I trust him? It wouldn't have had any meaning whatsoever. But after he went, then it had meaning. And that's what we have to have, is meaning. And it's after we go through things that we get meaning in our life. So when he was teaching them that how to pray, he was teaching them how to approach God and to pray for ourselves, then to pray for others, and then to really ask and knock, be patient, ask, and don't just do anything else and try to work it all out. Seek, because you don't know exactly what you need, so you have to look and look and look and look to find it. And then knock, be patient in all that you're asking, because I have many things that I have to move the puzzle pieces around until they all fit. And I can give you the answer to your requests. God is very, very good. And this last part of the scripture is, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What those disciples needed most was the Holy Spirit. They got the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit moved with them, moved in between them, moved over them, and helped them here, helped them there, or whatever, while they were the disciples, while Jesus was right there with them. But they needed him on the inside. In prayer, without the Holy Spirit, a prayer is empty. And we learn to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means sometimes we don't even know what to say, and the Spirit intercedes for us. He's living inside of us. Do you know the Spirit knows all your weaknesses? The Spirit knows everything about you.
Right.
And the Spirit is what helps connect you to God. There is a connection, just like Jesus on the earth was connected to his Father because he was the Son of God. And he was connected. The way we're connected is the Holy Spirit inside of us connects to God. Without the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a hard time being able to pray effectually, because we need the Spirit working on us to be able to do that. So when the disciples said, teach us to pray, we didn't understand necessarily, but this actually happened further down in Luke. You find out that he starts saying some of the same things that he said on the Sermon on the Mount. So this was actually a prelude to the Sermon on the Mount, where the disciples said, teach us to pray. And not then Jesus taught them, and then He went out and he taught the multitude the same prayer, how to pray, what you should do to pray. When you pray, he said. So we need to understand that there is, that when Jesus laid this down, that he laid down something that will be effectual. If we will follow the pattern, if we will listen to what he has said here, if we will do it the way he says it, that our prayers can be more effectual than they were before. Amen.